Go to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to continue looking on at Joseph, since we didn't get through it all last week, but we'll just continue there. But go back to chapter 37 first, and we'll give a bit of a recount. Let's pray, and then we'll look into this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and meet in this place and meet around your word, Lord. We thank you that we have your word, the Bible, that we can read and we can study it and we know it, Lord. And we just pray that you help us to know it more and to know you more now. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. And we're looking at Joseph, the life of Joseph. And I did take a bit of an ambitious chunk last week, trying to get from 37 up to 50. It's a big one, but we might get through it tonight. So we'll just have a bit of a recap of the life of Joseph. How did the Israelites get down into Egypt, what they were doing, where they were, and all of this kind of stuff. And Joseph's character. That's what we need to keep looking at. Joseph's character, how the Lord was with him all the time. And we see that. So chapter 37, and we start here. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old." Okay, so he's this young guy, the second youngest of 12 sons from Jacob. And he's having these dreams. And it says down in verse 4 that it says that they hated him. His brethren hated him. It says it a few times, they really mustn't have liked him. They really didn't like him. He daubed on them. The end of verse 2 says that. It says, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." And he was the favorite son. Joseph was the favorite of Jacob, and they hated him. And then he had these dreams, you know, where he says, "Oh, we were binding sheaves and mine stood up and yours bowed down." And they're like, "You think you're going to reign over us?" And they hated him. Verse 8, they hated him. And verse 9, he dreamed another dream where the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to him as well. And they hated him even more. This wasn't helping. Sometimes you just need to be quiet, don't you, sometimes? But they hated him, they envied him, verse 11, and they go down and they hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. They were going to kill him out there in the wilderness, but Reuben, the oldest son, delivered him, verse 22. It says, "Don't kill him, we won't do it," and he was going to rescue him. And so they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Reuben came back, the kid was gone, he was distressed, and they sold him into slavery, ripped up his colourful coat, dipped it in blood, took it back to his dad and said, "Dad, we found this, is this Joseph's?" And that was, Joseph had died in his father's eyes. So they faked his death, sold him into slavery, kept it a big secret, went into Egypt, down into Potiphar's house, accused, falsely accused, thrown into prison. He was in prison for years. Interpreted the dreams of the butler and baker. We get to the, if you weren't here last week and you're wondering what's going on, you're just going to have to go back and read it all for yourself. This is just a recap. And then the Pharaoh has the dreams, and that's where it kind of starts getting really exciting, because the Pharaoh has these dreams, and the Pharaoh's woken up by these dreams about the fat cows and the skinny cows and the fat corn and the skinny corn. And we know the interpretation there, where Joseph comes and tells him what to do. There's going to be plenty, there's going to be famine, you need to store up all this food, and he's made governor. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And it says that the Lord was with him. When he was sold into slavery, thrown into the pit, it says, and the Lord was with him. And when he was in the house, the Lord was with him. And when he was in prison, the Lord was with him. And God blessed him, whatever he did. He was working in the prison, working in Potiphar's house, falsely accused in prison for all of those years, over 2 years. We know it was over 2 years because it was 2 years that the butler was out of prison. And then he goes, "Oh, Pharaoh, I remembered this guy in prison." And we don't know how many years exactly, but he was in prison for a long time. And then so we have Joseph being the governor of Egypt, and they're in famine, and Canaan is in famine. And then we get to chapter 42, and that's where we're up to. So let's have a look at just chapter 42. And it says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth." Yeah, do you see something here? No? All right, let me go back to chapter 37. He had a dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. This is really amazing. This is the first time. "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And so they came down," and this is where we're going to get real tricky. I'm going to draw a picture of a map. And it's really quite interesting when you think about this. So they came down from Canaan. Looks something like this. Yeah? And this is the Nile and the Delta. And we got the Red Sea. And we got the...
Good for a beginner, brother.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I did it the wrong way around. This one's bigger, and then that one's smaller. It's really bad, okay? It's good. All right. But what is interesting here, see, Jerusalem is here, and if you go back into chapter 35-ish or something like this, it says that he was in Bethel, and Bethel is about 15 or 20 k's further away than Jerusalem, okay? He may have still been there, and there's Jerusalem, but just to get a bit of a, that's meant to say Jerusalem, and here... we have Goshen, put a big G there, and we'll just put a spot here because it could be where they were. Okay? In Giza. And that is about, do you know how far that is? How far would you walk to buy bread? I mean, I live about 500 metres from Woolworths, and I don't walk. That's true. And so from here to about there, I just got it on my ruler and scale, it's about 300 kilometres. That's ages away. And then they've got to get further, so they got it from Bethel, they could be another 15, 20 k's, and then if they actually have to come down here, you're looking at about a 300 to 400 kilometre walk to get bread. Now, that's a pretty incredible feat, isn't it? We get stressed when we can't get something from Woolworths quick enough. And so these guys came down, go back into Genesis, and we'll look at here. They made this journey, and roughly somebody walks about 30 kilometres a day. Maybe 20. 20 to 30 kilometres a day. 30 is a pretty good pace going. And so let's just go on that because it's a nice round number. Works really well into 300. Gives you about 10 days, 10 or so day journey to get down here. To hopefully to be able to buy some bread. And then you got to get back another 10 or so days. So you're looking at, and then you're going to stay for a day or two in Egypt. You're not going to get there and walk in and go, bing, yep, bread, good, we're out of here. It's going to take time, isn't it? You got to probably take a number. How do you see a governor? Everyone's there. There's lots of people from Canaan. It's not just them. It says lots of people from Canaan are there. Have a look in verse 6. It says, "And Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land." Everyone was there. You got to wait in turn. There's families. There's people from Canaan, people from all over Egypt, and I reckon probably from Africa, Ethiopia. They could have been coming from everywhere too to come and buy bread off Joseph. And they would have been there for some time. So it was probably a month's journey, roughly. Roughly a month journey to go and get bread. Go, see you later, boys. See you in a month. That's a long way. That's ages away. And then they go down. And so Joseph sees his brethren, and they bow down to him. And he made himself strange and spoke roughly with them and accused them of being spies. Pretty interesting. I kind of wonder, there's lots of stuff not said in the Bible, so it's fun to use your imagination, isn't it? But we'll get to there, okay? And so his brothers are bowing down, he spoke roughly to them. He didn't exactly chuck off his Pharaoh hat and go, "Hey guys, it's me, Joseph," straight away. And he speaks roughly, accuses them of being spies, and they ask about their dad and their other brother. "Is there another brother?" "Yeah, there's another brother. He's at home with dad, and he's your spies. You go back and get your..." He knew that they weren't spies. He knew that they weren't spies. He knew exactly who they were and what they were doing. And he's got a... God is good, you know. And Joseph remembered... Look at verse 9. It says, "And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, 'Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye come.' And they said unto him, 'Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come.'" And they go, they're appealing. We've come to buy food, we're not spies. And he goes, "You're spies, you go up there and bring your brother down, or you're never coming back here again. Well, I'm going to get one of you and lock you in prison." And he didn't put Reuben in prison. I think that's interesting. Reuben tried to deliver him. He probably liked Reuben. He put Simeon in prison. Now, I suppose that Simeon was probably the worst big brother. And Joseph didn't exactly go and visit him when he was in prison either, did he? Okay. And so he locks one of them up in prison. They bind him in front of them and throw him in prison. So now these guys have got to walk 10 days to get back home. They got to finish all of their bread, and then they got to convince their dad to let Benjamin come back down, and Simeon is in prison for all of this time. I reckon he went, "Yeah, Simeon, I got you now. You, I'm getting you back. This is a payback." You don't know, I'm just saying that. It's not in the Bible, okay? But that's what he does. He puts Simeon in prison, and he sends them away, and he says, "Don't come back unless you bring Benjamin. You will not see my face unless Benjamin comes." And then he does something again. He puts their money in their sacks of food. Oh, man, I'd love Woolworths to do that for me. And so he sticks their sacks, their money back in, and they're going back and they're traveling back. And they go to the inn, and the guy pulls out to feed his donkeys. Look in verse 25, it says, "Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money in his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus he did." 26, "And they laded their asses and departed." 27, "And as one opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth." Oh, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? I would be scared. These guys were scared. These brothers are scared. And they're going, "Whoa, we paid for this. This guy, the governor, he spoke roughly with us. He accused us of being spies. We've got Simeon is in prison down there. We need to get Benjamin to come back down to get Simeon back. We're never going to see this guy again. And then the money is in our sacks." Can you imagine what that would have been like? That would have been a very scary experience. And then they go back home and they tell their dad everything that's gone on, and everyone's got their money. Whoa. They're scared. Look at what it says. It says, they go down, verse 35, it says, "And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid." Man, the Egyptian army's going to be on our doorstep soon, aren't they? You'd be getting worried. You'd be the dad. You'd be like, "I taught you not to steal. What have you done?" And they're up there, and then so they're up there, and then they've got to go back. And verse 43 talks about them needing to go back. So they've eaten their food. They're getting through it all. Think about Simeon still in prison for all of this time. Traveled back, eaten their food, journeying back down into Egypt again. They need to convince their dad to take Benjamin. And that's a bit of a tough job there. But he lets him go. He says, "If anything happens, I'm just going to die. Yeah, you'll take my grey hairs down to the grave." But if he goes, he goes. Look at what it says. Where does it say? I can't find that verse now. I highlighted it. But anyway, so they've gone down, and this guy who's at Judah, he says, I'll vouch for him if anything happens. Kill my kids. I'll look after him if anything happens. Bold move there. And so he let him go down. And he says, this time, but go down. Now, he was obviously quite wealthy, Jacob. And he's not totally dying of starvation at this point yet. But he says, take presents down. Verse 11, look at this. We're in chapter 43, verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down a man to the man a present. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Take double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand peradventure. It was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go unto the man. Here's verse 14. It says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man that he may send away your other brother. And Benjamin, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. What a decision to make. What a decision to make. That's a tough. Tough call. All of his sons, go down, get Simeon back, but bring Benjamin back. And if something happens to him, then so be it. And so they went down and they saw Joseph again, and then he sees them. And I love what he does. He doesn't just reveal himself straight away. I'm sure it would have been so tempting, wouldn't it? They go, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph, but he doesn't do that. And it says when verse 15, it says, and the men took that present and they took double money in the hand and Benjamin and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. So he has them back for lunch, goes back to the house. And these guys, here they are, they're getting scared again. Remember, they've got that money. They've got that money. What are we, how would you give something back that you thought they might think that you stole it? How would you give that back? You'd be, the what happened? I've got this money, we need to give it. We didn't pay last time. Yeah, well, we're not serving you now. We're going to put you in prison and cut your heads off or something. And so they're coming into his house. And I love this, when they come into the house, verse 19, they came near, and you can see that Joseph is playing them a little bit. Okay, look at what the guy says. This is a servant. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house and they communed with him at the door of the house. See, they're taking the first opportunity to make this right. Before we even see the governor, we need to try and sort this out. And it says, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn, we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we've bought it again in our hands. Look, they've probably got this money and they're throwing it at this guy. You can imagine them, can't you? It says, we came down to buy money, and this money was back, and here we came to have it back. And you can imagine that that's what they're doing, trying to get rid of it. And what he says, and it came to pass, oh, there it is, 22, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be unto you, fear not. Oh, your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. Fear not, God's given you treasure in your sacks. Well, yeah, he did. And then he says, I had your money. Yeah, I'm confused reading that. Okay, would you be confused? Think about that. You're going down to buy food and then you're scared because you got your money back and then you're trying to give your money back again that you shouldn't already have. And then the guy says, don't worry about it. Your God's given you a treasure. I had your money. You'd be like, so you put it in our sacks. You'd be speechless, wouldn't you? There'd be so many questions you wanted to ask, and that's literally all he says. And the peace be unto you. And then he brought Simeon out of prison. They brought Simeon out of prison, they got their money back, and they're at Joseph's house. Who's ever been to a governor's house before? Anyone been to a governor? I've never been in a governor's house. They bought Simeon, he's out of prison. They're released, and then Joseph came home. Verse 26, he has dinner with them. They order, he sets them in age order. That spins them out. He sets them up in age order. And verse 28, look at this again. And they answered thy servants, and he asked them about their dad, and they answered, thy servant, our father is in good health, yet he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Again, it happens multiple times, doesn't it? These people are bowing down to him. They have no idea. It's kind of funny that we know the answer, but being on that side of the line, you've got no idea what's going on. The last thing that they were thinking of is Joseph. Now think about Joseph. He was 17 years old when they sold him into slavery. He was 30 years old when he came out of prison. That's what it says. It says he was 30 years old when he began to reign as governor. So what do we got there? We got a whole heap of years. 13 years. 13 years. He's been governor for 9 years. He's 39 years old because we've got 7 years of plenty, and then later on it says there's 5 more years to go. So we've got 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine, and that's where at. He's 39 years old. 22 years ago, they sold Joseph into slavery. That's a long time ago. 22 years that they haven't seen or heard anything about Joseph. And Joseph is there, and he remembers his dreams, and he's seen his brother, and he had Simeon in prison, remember that whole time. And like I said, he must have been the bad big brother. And they made obeisance, and he saw him, and he had to go out of the room. You would. He run out and cries. He feeds them. Whew, we've got to get through this. He washed his face. He comes back in, sends them off on their way again. And he says the same thing. He says, give them food, give them heaps of food, put their money back in their bags, and slip in a silver cup into Benjamin, the youngest one's sack. Oh, you wonder why, don't you? I wonder what Joseph was doing. Why was he toying with them? You know, he knows that his dad's going to die if his son doesn't come back. He would so badly want to reveal himself to them and say, ha ha, you're bowing down to me, remember, like I told you. That's all there, isn't it? You would want to do that. But he doesn't, so he puts the cup in and then he sends them off on their way. And he says, all right, guards, go after these guys, check their sacks, bring them back, whoever's cup it is, and bring it back. And so they bring them back, find the cup, and it's in Benjamin's sack. Oh. Of all the sacks, I'm sure that they start from the oldest, searching the bags, Reuben's, Simeon's, the next one all the way down to Benjamin, it's in Benjamin's, and I'm sure Judah went, oh no, I said to Dad that if anything happens, it's my fault, I'll take the blame for it. And so they go back into Egypt, back down to Egypt they go, and they come down, and then Joseph says he's going to be my slave, and he gives this big spiel. Judah gives himself for Benjamin. Really quite an amazing speech if you read through that. Won't be able to read through it all. Basically he says, you have to make me a servant, because if Benjamin doesn't go back, my dad's going to die, because the life is bound up in the child. And then we have this part here in verse chapter 45. And let's have a look at this. And this is the great time. Look in chapter 45. It says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood before him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Joseph can't handle this anymore. I have to tell there you are. And they're standing there. You'd be like, the Egyptian governor is speaking Hebrew. He knows Hebrew. It says earlier on that he spoke through a translator, but he knew what the guys were saying. He spoke through a translator. And now the governor is speaking Hebrew, saying, "I am Joseph." But even more before that, have a look at this. When this happens, in chapter 42, verse 21, it says, "And they said one to another," this is when they put Simeon in prison, "We are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear him. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." And Reuben said, "I told you we shouldn't have done it." And they're thinking about Joseph still, aren't they? 22 years later. And now, here's Joseph, and he says, "I am Joseph." Whoa, and they trembled and were troubled at his presence. Verse 4, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Whoa, that is, only God can do that, can't he? Can God do that? And look at this guy's attitude. I was talking about Joseph's character. He was such a godly man that even in the pit, even in prison, falsely accused, in the dungeon, it says that he was brought out of the dungeon. He was in the dungeon and he was still faithful to God, wasn't he? He was still faithful to God. And he wasn't bitter. I'm sure he had moments of bitterness. He says, look at this. Verse 5, and this is just shows his character. It says, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." They would have thought, this guy is going to kill us. Okay, he's accused us of being a spy. He's locked Simeon in prison for about a month or so. And now this is Joseph. What do you say? Sorry? It might not be enough. After 22 years, I mean, maybe there's a lot of bitterness stored up there. But he says, "For God did send me before you to preserve life." And this is where he says, here we've got 2 years, we're 2 years into the famine, there's going to be another 5, verse 7. "And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." God sent me here. You guys didn't do this. You're mean and nasty and horrible brothers and you wanted to kill me. You sold me into slavery. But God, that God, God's hand was guiding me the whole way through it. 22 years later, God has brought us here to save your life. To save your life. And now you come down here, and the Bible doesn't mention, remember those dreams that you were hating me for? You're bowing down to me, you had no idea, and God sent me here to deliver you. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Only the Lord can work these things out. God knew what these men were going to be like and what they were going to do to Joseph, and he just had the right person, Joseph, there to go down into Egypt, giving him the wisdom to interpret dreams and to have the wisdom to collect all the food and do that in such a way. And he's 39 years old, and here he is, seeing his brothers saying, "God sent me here." Now, that's amazing, isn't it? What a character. Not what a character, what character. What godly character. God was with him the whole time. And so he says, go, and he talks to Pharaoh, and he says, "This is your family, bring them down." And he sends wagons and everything up to, and this is where I love imagining things. And I imagine, what did the guys say when they got back to Dad? They're walking home. Okay, we got Simeon out of prison. We got Benjamin. We're heading back home. What are we going to tell Dad? Reuben, you tell him. You're the eldest. Nah, man, I didn't want to do it. You do it. You hated him. I was going to deliver him. You're gonna do it. And it doesn't say. And it just says they walked in and they said. Look at what they said here in verse 25. It says, "And they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is the governor over all the land of Egypt." What? Or, you know, it's like, yeah, Dad, you know that time we bought that coat back home? Remember? 22 years ago? And we had that coat, and it was his colourful coat that you made him? Well, here's what really happened. What? Yeah, imagine how that conversation would have went. Yeah, that could have been a colourful conversation. You sold him into slavery, and now he's the governor, and he wants me to come to Egypt. And have a look at the last verse, and we might have to finish up here. It says, "And Israel said, is it enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." And that's how Israel gets down into Egypt. Very amazing, amazing story. But we haven't finished. Some other things that we want to think about. Israel goes down into Egypt, and... we better not. We better not. We got another night. There's lots of archaeology and stuff that goes along with this. Just a couple things. I don't know what to do. All right, so Israel goes down. 70 people go down. Let's just get to the end of chapter 50. Jacob dies. Joseph dies, and he says, "Take my bones out of Egypt." So that's the end, all the way up to chapter 50 there of Genesis. So that's how the Israelites got to be in Egypt. If ever you were wondering, there's the story. So some things we will look at, though. You kind of wonder about some archaeological evidences of these things happening, about Israel being in Egypt and things like this. And this was the land of Goshen here where they went in. And it says that the Egyptians didn't like being with the Hebrews because it was an abomination and things like this. So they had their own land up here. And it says that they built the city Ramesses. And there's lots of archaeological disputing because the Bible says Ramesses and all this kind of stuff. But the archaeologists found, that's where Ramesses is in Goshen there, but under the city of Ramesses is another city called Avaris. That's really cool. And that means nothing in Egyptian. That's interesting, isn't it? It's not even an Egyptian word. It's a Hebrew word. And so we'll look at that later. And in here, under that city, so, you know, there's always layers in archaeology. They go down, down, down and find all this extra stuff. And they found, and it's known, and it's in history and everything, that there is a Semitic city there. Semitic population. That turned up, that flourished, that went obviously into poverty, into slavery, and then disappeared. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? There's graves with only lots of children in them from 2 years old and down. They found all of this stuff here in this city of Avaris under Ramesses. There's a canal, and it's called... I think it's called the B-O-H-N. Oh, hey, what does that word look like? And it's the canal of Joseph that diverts off the side here and goes into a dam. And it's called the canal of Joseph. And it dates to the same time as this city of Avaris. There's just a couple of little clues that the archaeologists have found. Actually, it's still called that anyway, and you can just look it up on the internet, and it's very easy to find. And there's lots of stuff to support this stuff. And about the famine and the flood, there was all this evidence too in this area of like all these governors. Not like governors, but probably kind of more like the British aristocracy, Okay, so you got like the king in England, but you know, there's the lord of the manor around the place that were just like equally to as rich as the king, if not richer, in all these different places, you know, and that's the lord of the manor, and that would have been like a little king in that little area. And there are all these things. I think there was a 12 of them, and they're called gnomes, N-O-M-E-S, these little, like, what kind of like what I'm describing as the aristocracy here, and there's shown archaeological evidence that these became very poor, and the king became very big. Now, have a look at what happened here. If we go back to chapter before his brothers come down, it says he takes the advice. I don't know where I've got it now. Where he gets all the money. No, I can't. Oh, here we go. Yeah, in chapter 47. So we got the famine here in the land, and it says, and all the bread was gone, verse 14, and Joseph gathered up all of the money that was found in the land of Egypt. So they all needed bread, so they all came to Joseph. So the first thing to go, the money. So the king gets very rich. And all of these guys, they get poorer, and the king gets richer. And then it says the next year, have a look at this, verse 18, says, when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said, we will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. So he gives him all the cattle. Sorry, verse 16, they got no money. Verse 16, they give all of their cattle and all of their herds and everything. And so he's just getting richer and richer. And then at the end, in verse 18, he owns everything. Just like that. In a couple of years, this whole system and this king just becomes mega rich. Just like that. Owns all the money, all the cattle, all the land, and all the people. Just like that. Amazing. And Joseph puts a 20% tax on everything, the 1/5 tax. And this is all written down in history and everything. So yeah, very interesting story. And this word, we looked at that last week. Avarice comes from the word, that word, which was ish, ivri. That's where that word avarice comes from. And do you remember what Ish Ivri means? It means the man. The man. The Hebrew. Just the Hebrew. The man. And that name, avarice, comes from this word, Ish Ivri, avarice. And so maybe that town was just called the Hebrew. The man. It's where the Hebrews lived. There, in the land of Goshen, here. And Joseph was the governor. So yeah, there you have it. That's very interesting. There is more, but we will finish up there. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for how you work. Lord, we just have no idea. Lord, there are things going on that we think are just terrible and horrible mistakes, Lord, but you use these for your purpose, like Joseph, Lord, sold into slavery and gone down into Egypt, Lord, but you had used it to deliver the nation, Lord. And we just know that all things work together for good for those that are called according to your purpose. We just pray that you help us to trust in you, to depend on you, and to believe in you in all things, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.